Welcome to Agora Sports Network. My name is Carrie Tollefson, a member of the 2004 Olympic team running the 1500 meters. In addition, I'm a wife, a mother of three kids under the age of 14, a weekly podcast host of See Tali Run, and a commentator and analyst for such news outlets as ESPN2 and NBC. And if that's not enough, I'm your host today, interviewing fellow Olympian Gwen Jorgensen. Gwen was a member of the 2016 Olympic team, winning the gold medal in the triathlon. In fact, Gwen was the first American, man or woman, to win a gold medal in the triathlon. Personally, Gwen is a wife and mother of two young boys, Stanley and George. Her Olympic story is unique in that she completed a master's degree in accounting and had a successful career as a tax accountant before she transitioned to the triathlon. She recently won first place at the World Triathlon Cup, having returned to the triathlon following a seven-year hiatus. In addition, Nancy Jorgensen has joined us. Nancy is the very accomplished mother of Gwen and her sister Elizabeth. In fact, Nancy and Elizabeth have authored two books, Gwen Jorgensen and Go Gwen Go, A Family's Journey to Olympic Gold. Nancy recently retired after 35 years teaching choral music in Wisconsin and now writes, pursues collaborative piano opportunities, and spends time with her family. All right, Gwen and Nancy, you are the first two to be our mother-daughter on the Agora Sports Network. So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Oh, it is so much fun to watch you. You guys are good friends of mine. I feel like I get to chat with you every now and then. There's always something exciting happening in the lives of the Jorgensen gals. But I wanted to introduce you to this audience because your stories, both of you, are it's so fun. But we're going to start with you, Gwen, first. Gwen, you are the first male or female from the United States to win Olympic gold in the triathlon. I mean, when I say that, I still get a little sweaty and like excited about it. But I mean, it must have been just a dream come true for you. And if you can, just tell us what that day was like, and then we're going to get into your journey into the Olympics.
Yeah, that was something that I had been working towards for 4 years, dedicated my life. I was living in Australia and Spain. So it was just a full immersion for 4 years with one goal. And when I crossed that finish line and accomplished that, it was a lot of emotions, a lot of joy, a lot of relief, and a lot of thankfulness for the people that helped me get there.
I mean, I can remember watching it and I don't, you know, you show emotion, but you kind of keep it under wraps too. That was one of those days where you really let it out. Like it, I don't know how you couldn't, but I was like, oh my goodness, we actually see what she's feeling right now.
Yeah. You know, I think I naturally don't cry a ton and I probably don't show my emotions that much. And I would say I don't actually, I have a sister who's very, I would say she shows more emotions than me. And for me personally, I think my entire life, I've just kind of been more inward and yeah, but that day when I crossed the finish line, I was in tears and, that's what happened. And it was a very emotional day.
I don't know if you know this, but you weren't the only one in tears. I mean, I know your family, but even all of us back here watching from, you know, so far away. When you started in elementary, did you ever think you were going to be an Olympic gold medalist?
Well, when I was in elementary school, I was an avid swimmer. All I wanted to do was swim. And my dream was to go to the Olympics in swimming. And that was something that, you know, I don't think I ever dreamt about a gold medal, but it was definitely something like, man, I want to be good at swimming. And the reality was I never even made it to junior Olympics or NCAAs or anything like that. But for me growing up, especially I'd say in elementary school, that was my goal, was in swimming to have that.
Yeah. Then you went to the University of Wisconsin in Madison, Wisconsin, and you did swim.
Yeah.
And then you picked up this other sport. So let's hear about that a little bit.
Yeah, I did a little bit of running in high school. Mm-hmm. Not much. I would kind of just go to meets. I wasn't even really going to practices. And I had a little bit of success there. And, you know, I remember talking to my mom about this, and I remember I'd get a scholarship letters to run at universities. And when I was deciding on colleges, I was just like, I don't want to run. I don't want to do that. And so I decided to swim, but no teams were offering me any scholarship money for swimming because I wasn't as good as I was in running. So yeah, I went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison with full intentions to just swim. And after 3 years of swimming, I got connected with the track and field team. And halfway through the year, their season had already started, track and field. And I joined their team and, you know, within a year was going to NCAAs.
I love that. And I love that you did dabble in it and you did kind of run here and there, but you didn't really get serious until you were in college. You know, when we're talking to these youth sport families, I mean, yes, you love to swim, but you did a lot of other sports in high school. There's so many kids that are now just focusing on one. And thank goodness you did it, because now look at what you're doing. You know, you are a three sported, maybe more sported athlete, but you do three sports for a living. So talk about, you know, being a well-rounded kid growing up and finding joy in sport, but mixing it up a little bit.
Yeah, I actually think I have my parents to thank for that well-roundedness in sports. For me, I think if they would have let me do what I wanted, I would have been in the pool for 8 hours a day as a kid. And it's something that, you know, I have two young boys right now, and I would never, ever want them to choose one sport that young in high school and just focus that much on it. I think there, if you want longevity in the sport, if you want love in the sport, and if you want to be good as well, I think there's a lot to say and there's a lot of proof, I think, from different athletes like myself, where I wasn't just singularly focused as a younger athlete. And I did have many other sports that I was doing. I did some basketball because my sister would do that. And my sister as well would drag me to track and field camp. So yeah, it was something that I really thank and I really appreciate, because I know that my love to this day of triathlon is because I wasn't a triathlete when I was 8, 9, 10, 12, 16 years old.
Yeah. And anyone who's followed you or knows you knows how meticulous you are in your training. And as a triathlete, you have a lot of time to put in and you got to do a lot of different things. So it seems like a perfect fit. But I think you're right. Like, having fun with it and not getting too serious too early, that's probably why you're still going at this age as a mother of two, still breastfeeding one of them.
Yes. Little George. Yes.
Little George and then bigger Stanley. It's so fun to see you guys. Nancy, you came from the background of music and you raised these two girls that were in music, but also in sport. Now, you didn't have the opportunity to play sport. You, like my mom, came before Title IX. So what was that like for you raising these two girls that were in everything and excited about sport? I mean, I think I've read that you loved it too. You just didn't have the opportunity.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I would be at the piano practicing and my husband was more interested in sports, and we always had a great partnership raising the girls. And because my job as a high school choir director was so demanding, he did a lot of just, you know, everything that parents do. And I think by nature, he encouraged sport and I encouraged music. And together, we just decided that our kids should have both. And so we insisted that, you know, through high school, Gwen was not happy about this, but we insisted that she finish playing violin through high school. And because of, you know, what you were talking about, her meticulous approach to anything she does, she was a great violinist. She was the concertmaster of her high school orchestra and got into the Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra, and she did a really good job. And it was just our philosophy that, again, what you've been talking about, that neither one of them focus on anything exclusively, sport or music or anything. We just wanted both girls to be well-rounded.
Well, you and Elizabeth have written two books, along with Gwen's help, obviously. It's Gwen Jorgensen was your first book, and then you've had a follow-up, which I love. It's all these letters that Gwen has written to herself or all these different things. And you guys have done such good work for especially youth parents and kids that are getting into sport. But I do want to ask, I mean, Elizabeth, I love that girl. She is so excited for her little sister. She is so excited about life in general. But Nancy, how did you raise these two girls, two women, to be so good at everything they do? Not to put the pressure on, but I mean, they really do. Like, they are passionate about what they do. They want to be really good at things. They're not only great at sports and music, but they're brilliant in their own professional life. You know, Gwen is not an accountant right now, but she was an accountant. Elizabeth is a very good teacher and writer. Like, all these awesome things that your girls have done. How did you get them there?
you know, I wish I had been confident when I was doing it. Mm-hmm. But you know, I think like a lot of parents, you make the best decision you can in the moment,
yeah,
and look around and see what you think is working and kind of trust your intuition. Basically, I think we had some expectations, high expectations for academics, say.
Yep.
But not high expectations for sport or music. We had the expectation that they participate and that they finish what they start. Mm. And so we had those expectations, but then we also gave them some freedom to pursue what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, Elizabeth really loved violin. Gwen probably didn't, but she followed it because Elizabeth was doing it. It was kind of just, you know, well, the family's playing violin, so I'll do it. But Gwen did, like you said, swimming and basketball and track, and Elizabeth concentrated on basketball. And all of that was fine with us. We had no idea we were raising an Olympian. We just wanted to raise two happy, successful kids that would enjoy life and have good friends. And people ask me a lot of times, how did you raise an Olympian? And my answer is, we raised an Olympian by not trying to raise an Olympian. Hmm. You know, we gave her and Elizabeth both just opportunity and support and backing and our presence at everything they did. But if we had tried to create an Olympian out of her, we would have probably focused on swimming.
Mm,
and it would have been the wrong choice, because that wasn't the sport that she's the most talented at. It wouldn't have been successful.
Oh, I could listen to that all day. I mean, Gwen, don't you sometimes think, like, how am I going to do this as a parent? Like, I look at my parents, I'm like, how did you guys do this? Like, they just seem like perfect parents. And so do your parents.
Yeah, all the time. I'm constantly thinking, I'm like, if I could just be like my parents, I will have been so successful. And it's hard. Like my mom said, you know, I think, you know, a lot of that resonates with me. Like, we're just trying to make the best decisions we can as parents. And I'm constantly, you know, I talked to my mom yesterday about like, oh man, I don't know what to do about my family because I have this and I want them to do this. And it's just, it's that balance of what's best for your children and as well, what's going to make your family happy.
Yeah. Nancy, when Gwen decided to step away from being in the professional world of accounting, were you nervous about that?
You know, I wasn't. And again, it's what you were saying about how she approaches everything. I knew, knowing her, that she would not even bring that up unless she'd given it a lot of thought and had prepared and planned and kind of weighed the options. And so when she said that, she was, I don't know, how old were you, Gwen? Maybe 22?
Probably, yeah.
And so here's an opportunity for professional sports at age 22. It would make no sense to work as an accountant for 10 years and try that in your 30s. I mean, you're only 22 once. Now's the time. If you want to try it, accounting is going nowhere. You can come back to that.
Right. I think that's so great. Go ahead, Glad.
My memory of it is, it's a little bit different, I guess. I mean, I remember that, Mom, but I also remember, I feel like early on when I was doing accounting, there was an opportunity before I quit accounting to do professional sports earlier. And I remember my mom and dad saying, look, if you want to do this, you can live at home. We will support you. It'll be good. And I was like, no, absolutely not. Like, I'm not going to be a professional athlete unless I know that I can support myself. I want to be a strong, independent woman. Like, and that's how my parents raised me. And I think, you know, that, like my mom said, like, I don't think they were scared at all because they knew that I wouldn't do this. And this, I knew I could financially do it and back myself in it.
I think what I see and hear is that your mom trusts you, Gwen. Like, and I think that's something that parents have to have, is trust that they have done their job. And, you know, you weighed out every option, and even as an accountant, I'm sure you weighed out every financial situation. What I hear time and time again after, you know, talking with you ladies all the time, it's just that you guys have this great support system, but there's also a lot of trust within your family. One thing, though, I know that makes you nervous, Nancy, is the bike ride. Like, you don't love watching her cycle. So how do you get through those moments? Because I'm the same way. Like, Everett, my oldest, loves to play football, and I'm scared all the time because he doesn't wear a helmet yet. It's flag football, and he's fast, and he goes for it. So I can feel that nerve, the nerves that you've had watching her all these years on the bike.
Yeah, you know, when we're at home watching a race in Spain or Italy or wherever she is, I deal with it by cleaning my kitchen and my stove. At the end of a race, my stove is just spotless because I kind of pace and walk around and do this and do that and check the bathroom. Is that clean enough? And, you know, my husband will kind of shout, oh, she just took the lead and, you know, she's at the head of the pack or whatever is happening. He'll kind of shout these updates and then I'll wander back and watch a little bit. When we're watching live, it helps to have people around me.
Sure.
Elizabeth on one side and my husband on the other. And oh, and I remember Gwen asked me how I did at a race we were in. I think we were in Missouri and I was in charge of George.
Okay.
And so she said, were you nervous for that, Mom? And I just knew I couldn't devote energy to being anxious when I had to take care of a baby. It was more important.
There's a lot weighing on the line all the time. Like it's either your grandchildren, it's your daughter. Like,
right.
Always a lot of precious cargo with you people. Gwen, coming back from now, George, your second baby. This is an exciting time for you. So just like a little recap. So you win the Olympic gold and then you're like, okay, I've gotten to the top of the podium. Now I'm going to start focusing on running and getting into marathoning. And you did that for a long time. Then you had your second baby and George is now 11 months and you're back in the triathlon world. How's it going? Can you give us a little bit of an update and what the goals are for this next year?
Yes, I got back into triathlon after 7 years off and two kids. And as you said, I was running during that time, but you know, I hadn't been biking or swimming and it's been a very tight timeline that I've given myself. And so there was an Olympic qualifying event actually a week ago that I went to. And if I would have been top three, I could have automatically qualified and I wasn't. There's still two slots open for the US team that I'm shooting for. And, you know, I think as an athlete, something I struggled with a lot was giving myself grace. And that's something that I really have my boys to thank for me, my children, is just realizing like, wow, I just had childbirth. I'm still breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. I haven't done this sport for 7 years. And I, as an athlete, as an Olympic champion, expect champion results, no matter if I'm fit or not fit, or, you know, I just always expect to be at my best. And I think I've really grown and matured and seen that, yeah, I've done a lot this year that is showing improvement. So yeah, I'm excited. Right now I'm doing Pan American Games later this year. And then next year, there's going to be another Olympic qualifying opportunity. So I'm excited to have like 6 months to continue my progression. I've seen a ton of progression this year. And that's something that for me just gets me excited and motivated. And, you know, I think as an athlete, it's rare to constantly be improving. And I'm still at that point where, no, I'm not where I was in 2016 when I won Olympic gold. But when I started this triathlon comeback, I just see improvement week after week after week. And as an athlete, that's something that I really cherish because I know that doesn't happen often. Right. A lot of times, you get to a certain level and you just kind of stay there. And for me, I'm seeing this improvement, which is something that I'm really not taking for granted.
Yeah, it's hard though. I mean, you know, being the underdog, even though everyone's talking about you, everyone's watching you, you're still kind of the underdog because you are working your way back. So emotionally, how are you? Like, is it really draining? Does it charge you every day? What's going on upstairs?
You know, on a daily basis, when I'm training, I'm super motivated and really excited. When I have a bad race, like I did this past weekend, emotions come and go. Emotions are something that don't stay with us forever, which I'm thankful for, the highs and the lows both. But, you know, for me, it's one moment I'm just super frustrated and disappointed with myself because I didn't execute how I wanted to. And, you know, in this most recent race, I put myself in a perfect position and basically gave it away. Yeah. And so that sort of thing is hard emotionally. And as well, at the same time, it gives me motivation to keep going. And like I said, that seeing the improvement is something that I'm also proud of. And so it's reminding myself of that, of like, okay, well, look at where you were 2 months ago compared to where you are today. And think about what you can do in 6 months' time. And I think that's what really keeps me motivated. And, you know, then I have my family as well to just keep me grounded. Seeing Stanley or George smile and happy is something that, you know, it just doesn't matter what happens on race day when I can see their joy.
Well, and the life lessons that you continually teach yourself. I mean, in 2016, you could have been done and used all of those new traits or old traits that you have as an athlete to be an amazing woman for the rest of your life, but you still are learning and you're still pushing yourself in different ways. I love the new community too that's following you now. Like, there's so many moms or so many parents that are like, Gwen, we're rooting so much for you because it's fun to watch your journey. What does that mean to know that there's so many parents following you and rooting for you?
Yeah, I think a big reason I enjoy sport is because I feel like I can make an influence on other people, help them lead active lives. I can help them go after big, scary goals. Like what I'm doing, I'm putting myself in a super vulnerable situation. I did my first race of World Cup at 4 months postpartum. Like, it's insane. And so I come back, you know, my last race is whatever, Olympic champion. And I come back 4 months postpartum and just get my butt kicked, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, that I think is a lot of people would be scared to do that. And for me, it's something that, you know, I just am willing to put myself out there. And I'm not exactly sure how I learned this, because when I was a child, my mom can probably back this up, but I was a very like, had to please people and really had to perform. And I think a lot of that was coming from external pressure. And now that I'm older and more mature, I think I'm able to enjoy sport more because I understand where I'm at and that nobody else knows the work I'm putting in or where I'm at in my comeback or where I'm at in my sport and, you know, what happened this week, what happened last week. And so for me to be able to just have that focus internally has really allowed me, I think, to continue to love the sport.
I love that. I mean, you know, we are getting older every day and you still have a lot of years left, but I love that you still love it and you can't do it at the level you want to do it if you don't love it. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Don Pablo Coffee. If you're interested in quality coffee, fresh to order, roasted in small batches in the timeless Latin American traditions of roasting, then Don Pablo Coffee is for you. Check them out at donpablocoffee.com and use the promo code AGORA at checkout for additional savings off your first order. Do you think that your boys are going to get into it? Because, you know, we know your hubby, he is a one heck of a cyclist as well. And he is so excited about your career, but also he's always loved competing. So do you think the boys are going to be competitors or athletes at one time?
I don't know. You know, Pat and I were talking the other day and we're like, Stanley just might be too smart to be an athlete. I don't know. he's just, but you know, we kind of, Pat and I have the same approach that my parents had, which is we're not pushing to get him into anything. And we have, you know, Stanley, he has to choose one thing. Right now he's six. So we're like, you have to do one thing. And what do you want it to be? And it's Taekwondo. And he's super good at it. And he loves it. And I actually really enjoy going and watching him. He's like this completely different person from at home. And so It's just like this fun thing to see. And, you know, it's like my mom said very early on, I just want to see Stanley happy. And It doesn't matter what that is that makes him happy. Is it music? Is it sports? Is it art? Is it engineering? Is it monster truck driving? Whatever it is, like, that's where we want to be there to support him for that.
Yeah. Switching gears a little bit, Nancy, the books that you guys have written are so awesome, as I said earlier. You know, where did you guys get this idea to put it out there? You know, Gwen's story, and then to follow up with Go Gwen Go.
You know, the first book was just a memoir of our journey. And it just seemed like I had learned so much that I knew other people didn't know about, kind of the world of Olympics and, you know, just even drug testing, and there were just so, and nutrition and all the support that an athlete needs, you know, the physio and so many things I learned. And we just thought this would be great to just kind of put it out there and share what we learned with people. And then Gwen won the Rio Olympics and we had an idea for another book. And Gwen said, if you're going to do another one, I would really like this to be something for kids, where we could share the story with kids and encourage them to also have a big dream. And not necessarily in sport. It could be in anything. Mm-hmm. What she was just talking about, you know, art or music or whatever their interest is, that it's a good thing to have a big dream. And throughout the book, what we show is that Gwen had this big dream and it was not a straight shot from third grade to the Olympic podium. Yep. She had a lot of disappointments and a lot of times when she had to refocus and decide to go in a different direction. And that's okay. and that maybe you'll never reach your goal, but that you can have fun along the way and learn a lot about yourself.
Oh, it's so good. Like, go Gwen, go. I love the Gwen Jorgensen memoir. Like, I love that. I read it so fast, you guys, and I am not really a reader. I fall asleep a lot of times, and I just loved it. Go Gwen, go, I think everyone should read. Whether you are a young athlete or you are somebody that's going for walks at 70 years old for the first time, like, there's just something about it, and it really lets you into Gwen's life in a different way. And how you and Elizabeth, Nancy, write it, it's so fun to know that her sister and her mom are the ones kind of telling that story for her. It's so cool. You know, Nancy, when you look at Gwen as a parent and as an athlete, like, what are you most proud of?
Oh, wow. So many things.
It's a loaded question.
I got to ask it. I've been wanting to ask it the whole time.
You know, I think I'm really proud that she always advocates for herself and now for her family and what she needs. Mm-hmm. And she's not apologetic about saying, I need to be in such and such a place. Could you come and help me, Mom? Yeah. Could you fly into Colorado? Or whatever it is that she needs, she's very focused on herself, but not to the exclusion of others. But she knows what she needs to get where she wants to be. Mm-hmm. And she just makes that happen. A lot of times it's asking for help, which, you know, I think maybe in my life, I was always, I have to do this alone. You know, I was reluctant to ask other people to help me do something I thought was my responsibility. And she isn't reluctant. She invites people in to help her and then recognizes when they have helped.
That's probably the biggest compliment in life is for you to get that phone call though and say, have her say, Mom, I need your help, you know, still at this age. And like, I do think, Gwen, that that's something that has separated you from a lot of people that I know. I know quite a few Olympians and some Olympic gold medalists. But I do think one thing that I think of when I think of Gwen Jorgensen is you get it done in a very kind and humble way, but you figure out you're very good at scheduling. And you also have a husband, Patrick, who is right there with you. As a mother of two boys, as this Olympic gold medalist, as somebody that is very in tune with their body, like, can we just chat a little bit? I'm kind of jumping all over the place, but you and Patrick have made it real known that he loves to cook and so do you. So how is this whole partnership with Patrick really made you the best athlete you can be, like in the kitchen, on the competitive course, all of that? Like, how have you two been this great team?
Yeah, Patrick is, I would say his greatest quality or biggest attribute is that he's a caretaker for everyone around him. Yeah. And so since he entered my life, he has really taken care of me. And with the cooking, I actually used to love to cook, and now Pat cooks so much, I feel like I don't even know how to cook anymore. I do baking a lot, but he does most of the cooking. And so, in the lead up to 2016, you know, Patrick did basically everything from shopping, cooking, my bike stuff, like just was there to support me so that I could just focus on training. And it was a huge game changer. And, you know, now that we have kids, for instance, I had to be gone abroad for a few weeks and, you know, he flew over with George and then he went home and switched kids and took Stanley and flew over with Stan so that I could see the kids. And I think that's something that he, you know, I'm like, would I do this for Pat? I don't know. But, you know, I don't even have to basically ask him and he'll just say, yep, I'll do it. And, you know, just like he doesn't, you know, it's like, whatever, I'll just go to Europe, come back for 2 days, go to Europe again. And so, you know, I think he's someone who wants to see other people succeed and he's to help out in whatever ways he can.
Do you think you were always going to marry somebody that knew athletics like you did? Like I did not marry a professional athlete, but I married a guy that is very focused and driven in his own. He's an architect and art for him is just what drives him. He also loves athletics. So he understood my life. But do you often think about that? He's the perfect guy for you, really.
He is. And I think, you know, for me, it's, you know, I remember when we met on a bike ride and he had no idea what triathlon was. Like the triathlons I did, he was clueless, no idea. And I think that's something that actually drew me to him. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't want to be dating someone because they thought I was good at sport or whatever it was. And, you know, I still kind of tease him about this. But when I qualified for the 2012 Olympics, my first Olympics, he didn't call me. We were like very early dating. But he didn't even know that I qualified apparently for the Olympics. And it was like a week went by and I was just like, gosh, oh, I don't know if this guy's right for me. He didn't even call me to say congratulations. Like, what's going on? But, you know, I think that's what kind of initially drew me to him is that he wasn't, you know, he liked me for more than just being an athlete. I am someone who, when I was younger, when I was a swimmer, I identified my sole identity was swimming. Mm-hmm. And from that came a lot of heartbreak, a lot of frustrations and anger. Mm-hmm. And I was able to mature and realize that I'm not just an athlete. Mm-hmm. And so once I realized that and how much happier I can be in life when I know who I am as a whole and what my values are and what's important to me, it really showed me that, you know, I didn't want to be with someone long-term who was solely focused on seeing me as just Gwen, an athlete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Patrick does so many great things and we all appreciate him so much. Gwen, if you could tell your youth sport self something, what would it be?
There's a lot of things that I think I write to myself in the book about this, but you know, a lot of it is to, like I just touched on, and not put your self-worth in sport. Mm-hmm. And try to look inside and figure out what your values are. So for instance, like this year, some values that I'm focusing on are being bold and taking risks. Mm-hmm. And these are things that I know at the end of the day, I can be proud of myself for doing something that scares me. And so I think it's, you know, looking at big picture and not being focused on, I have to get this result or, you know, I'm going to be sad or it's going to be this or it's going to be that, but focusing more on like, what are your values and how can you hone in on those values and accomplish that?
Yeah. Are you still doing, remember when you went, oh gosh, you have to tell this story, but I was just thinking about you being sort of fearless and, you know, going after things you're scared of. Didn't you go like on a mountain and try to ride as fast as you could down it to get over the fear of being on a bike?
Yes. And I did not tell my mom before that I was going to do this. But yeah, I did a special camp with one of my sponsors to help me get over my fear of riding a bike. And I still am scared when I get on a bike.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that also motivates me to continue to do sport. Like I want to overcome these fears. I want to be bold. I want to be able to show myself that I can do it. But yeah, I did this whole camp where there was motorcycle riders and we went down this mountain as fast as we could. And then we did it on bikes. And it was like a 4-day intensive camp of just pushing the limits on two wheels.
And it helped?
It helped a lot. You know, I think it really allowed me to see, going down on a motorbike allowed me to see like, wow, you can go a lot faster than you actually do, than I actually ever could on a bike. And so, you know, the likelihood of crashing and, you know, knowing just the physics of what a bike can handle, that really, I think, allowed me to get not more comfortable on the bike, but allowed me to accept and have confidence in my abilities.
Mm. What have you been doing in this second round of triathlon that's been kind of pushing you past that, those limits maybe?
Yeah, I have, you know, a professional cyclist here in town who I meet with and we do drills, we do skills. I've been doing local criterium cycle cross races. And so just putting myself in these situations that, you know, I necessarily that scare me and that challenge me, and just working with, you know, knowing that, yes, this is scary and I'm doing it in service of. Mm-hmm. And then I think of my bigger goals, you know, like I want to be bold and I want to challenge myself and I want to build this community and all these things. And so by being able to ride my bike and do it with the fear is something that allows me to accomplish this bigger mission.
Yeah, it's really cool. Nancy, I got a similar question. If you could tell your youth sports mom self, what would you tell yourself?
I think I should probably have just relaxed a little bit. But that's kind of, I think Gwen and I have some similarities in our personality, just kind of being driven and wanting things so bad, and then kind of allowing that sometimes to get into worry and anxiety, and I should have just trusted my kids a little more and not been so afraid for them. You know, they're going to be fine. And but there's just that mom anxiety that I wish I could have tamped down.
Oh, I so have it right now. I'm terrible. I'm scared of everything. Charlie's like, Carrie, we might go to the ER with a broken arm, but it's okay. Pull out a little bit, right? Nancy, do you ever wish, and I'm sure you do, my mom, I think, wishes it all the time, but do you ever wish you could have been an athlete? And what do you think you would have excelled in?
Oh, I don't think I have the personality for it.
No.
Even as a musician, I feel like I'm a pianist. And I'm not a soloist. And I just don't have the personality to be out there on my own, doing it by myself. I love to collaborate. I love to accompany my friends who play trumpet and clarinet and play in a group. But that's my personality. And I just don't think I could have been a professional athlete.
I mean, I remember as a kid just despising how in a swim meet, I love swim meet. Loved it. But I despised how I felt like just everyone was watching me. Everyone's in the grandstands and they're just watching these six lanes. I'm in one of those lanes. And like, I did not like that. And so I think, Mom, you and I were similar in that. And yeah, I think, you know, in time I've realized, you know, if I want to do sport, it's just a part of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you, Mom, I mean, you get up on stage and do performances and.
I do. I also think that, you know, you don't mind being uncomfortable physically. And I just hate that. Like, I hate the stress.
But I do think that is something too. Like, I think that my mom was a pianist as well. She played the organ in our church. Like, she loved music. She would have, I think, been a heck of an athlete. And she often says that too. But because I think you guys didn't have that where you go and you sweat hard and you dig deep. You don't think that you want to do that. But I kind of agree with you, Gwen. I think our moms would have been rock star athletes.
Yes.
I think that's probably why we are so mentally tough. And we're not going to take it from anybody. And we're going to go out there and show them who's boss. I was not as skilled as Gwen in the violin. I was second chair. And my legs moved just as fast as my bow. But I love that you all love arts, you love sports, you want people to be well-rounded. I think that's the big message that I heard. Gwen, I have one final question for you. And we are doing an Agora Sports Network challenge, and we want to know from our Olympians what other Olympians they would like to hear on the show, or who they would like to hear on the show. Do you have any American Olympians that you think that would be a really cool story?
Yes. Do you know Kirsten Armstrong? Kirsten Armstrong, she's cyclist, mom. She's now a coach. And I just think
let's
be great.
Get her on. Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you both so much. Everyone needs to read both of the books. They are amazing. Get the workbook as well. I love what you two do in this world of sport. And I thank you for sharing your knowledge and your advice. And Gwen, go.
Thanks, Carrie.
You can do it. Thanks so much for joining us today on Agora Sports Network, a community that connects and unites Olympians to positively impact amateur sports in the U.S. This podcast, hosted by me, Carrie Tullifson, a member of the 2004 Summer Olympic team, is an engaging series where past and present Olympians share their experiences, challenges, and lessons learned. Our goal? To inform and inspire youth, high school, and college athletes and their families. Join us together as we positively impact the world of youth sports. Join us next week as we sit down with an Olympic gold medalist and living legend, Buzz Snyder. Tune in to hear some advice from one of the greats and how he continues to give back. Until next time, get outside, get active, and share in our love of sport. Visit us online at agorasportsnetwork.com. Subscribe to our email list to be the first to know about Agora news and to get exclusive content. Let's journey together.